欢迎各位听众回到 2CR 澳洲中文广播电台。接下来我们将会播放与新南威尔士州议会 Cabramatta 选区的州议员 Trevor 的访问。
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to 2CR Radio. I'm your host, Sally, today. So today is an honor to have Trevor MP, the member for Cabramatta, with us today on our radio. Hello, Trevor.
您好 ,Trevor.
Hello, Sally, and hello to all the listeners.Of 2CR. It's great to be here today with you.
你好 Sally, 非常荣幸能来到 2CR 澳洲中文广播电台。
Yes, we actually in a lot of events back in Cabramatta, we saw Trevor on every Chinese community events as well. So it's really good to having you on our radio today. So to start off, could you briefly introduce yourself to our audience first?
能不能先跟大家简单的介绍一下自己
?Yeah, my name's Trevor.And I'm the State Member of Parliament for Cabramatta. And Cabramatta has suburbs like, of course, Cabramatta, Cabramatta West, Lensvale, St. John's Park, parts of Kinleyvale, Bonnerig, Mount Pritchard, Greenfield Park, Walsall Park, Abbotsbury, and Denser Park. Now, these areas, it's got a lot of, I'm pretty sure, a lot of your listeners and followers, yeah. So that's the electorate, the area that I am very privileged and honored to represent.
大家好，我叫 Trevor， 是新南威尔士州议会 Cabramatta 选区的州议员。我的选区包括 Cabramatta、Cabramatta West、Lensvale、Sir John Park、Kellyvale、Bonnerig、Mount Pritchard、Greenfields Park。Bosley Park, Abbotsbury 和 Addison Park 等地区，这些地方对很多听众来说应该都很熟悉。我非常荣幸，也非常感恩，能代表这个多元文化的社区。
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, actually, we know that Trevor have like part of your family's back in China, right?
那我们听说您家里有中国的血统，能否聊聊您的家庭的背景呢
？Yeah, I'm mostly Vietnamese, but my mom's side, her surname's Lee, L-Y, and they have, recently I've confirmed with her that so the heritage was from southern China.
So it's similar to us in Guangdong as well.
Yeah, Guangdong, and then so they, I remember my grandfather, he speaks Chinese at home.
So you can, Cantonese. You must be a bit, can listen a bit with the Cantonese Mandarin as well.
A little bit. I look more like my mom. Mom's side. That's why a lot of people growing up, they would think that I look more Chinese.
Yes, I would say.
是的，我母亲那边有中国血统，她姓 Li Ay， 她来自中国南方。我最近也跟他确认过，我们家族的祖籍其实就在广东那一带。我还记得外公以前在家里会说中文，所以我多少也听得懂一点点。长大后，大家都说我长得比较像妈妈那边，看起来比较像华人，这是真的。
So, we know that actually Trevor were originally as a lawyer before. So, what inspired you to step into politics and public service area?
那您原本是律师，为什么会想要从法律转到政治这一条路呢？
Yeah, I was a lawyer for more than 20 years. Originally started out in Bankstown. I worked in Bankstown for a year. And then after that, 2 years in Fairfield. And then I ran my own office. Worked for myself for over 20 years in Kennedy Heights. Kennedy Heights is a suburb that's close to Kennedyvale and close to Cabramatta. So I ran my office for more than 20 years. And then during that period of time, I was also was the assistant secretary and secretary for the Labour Party of Cabramatta branch for about 10 years. And then also I was the president of the Vietnamese community. I was in New South Wales and Australia, but especially in New South Wales in 2005, 2009. And I worked very closely with the communities and the politicians in Cabramatta. And then I thought, politics, I can do it. I can see other MPs. And I thought to myself, I can do it. I can do this because I understand the the area very well. I worked with the communities very well. And I at that time, years ago, I thought, like, you know, I can represent this area, these people. And from then on, that's why I am very lucky. I knew all along it's hard. It's hard for someone like me because I was a refugee by boat from Vietnam at the age of 6 years old. And then I, so it's not easy. Yeah, I knew all along it wouldn't be easy for me or anyone similar situation to go in politics. But I kept going, and very lucky and privileged that in 2023 to be elected as the member for Cabramatta.
Mm-hmm.
我当律师超过20年, 最早在 Bankstown 工作了一年, 后来到 Fairfield 两年, 之后就到了 Kelly Height 开了自己的律师事务所, 也在那里服务了20多年。 那里离 Cabramatta 很近, 那我一直都有跟社区保持密切的联系。 除了律师工作, 我还担任过 Kevin Robb 时期工党的支部的秘书与助理秘书, 大约在10年, 也当过新州以及全澳越南社区协会的会长。 这些经历呢, 也让我有机会与不同的社群, 不同政界人物合作, 也让我更了解民众的需要。 那么有一天呢, 我想, 既然我这么了解这个地区, 为什么我不自己站出来? 我6岁的时候就跟家人搭船从越南逃难来澳洲，是难民的身份。我很清楚，对像我这样的背景的人来说，走进政坛真的不容易，但我没有放弃，慢慢努力，最后很幸运的在2023年当选了 Cabramatta 州议员。
Yes, I believe a lot of our audience as well, they have a similar experience as you coming from a boat back in the back in the 19th century in to Australia to stay here. So actually, you mentioned you have been joined the Labour Party for 10 years already. So what led you to join the Labour Party and what values or vision do you share with it?
是什么让您选择加入工党的呢? 您觉得工党代表哪些价值?
Yeah, I joined the party probably in 2010, so that's probably more than 15 years. Mm-hmm. Before that, I worked very closely with the Labour MPs there, because we had a very wonderful Labour MPs, federal and state, in Cabramatta. People like Nick Lalich or Chris Hayes, Julia Irwin, Jason Clare, Tony Burke, Chris Bowen, they're wonderful Labour MPs. And I thought, like, I share the Labour's policy. I share the Labour's policies, and also all my life, the Labour values align with my values.
Mm-hmm.
Things like caring for people, being close with the people in the community, and it's being more compassionate.
Mm.
It's also the voice for the less fortunate and less privileged, and also the Labour Party is usually the party that is probably supports, to me, I think it supports multiculturalism more. And although I was a lawyer, ran my office for more than 20 years, but a lot of my time was spent helping the community.
我大约在2010年加入工党, 到现在差不多15年, 其实在那之前我就跟很多的工党的议员合作得很好, 那比如 Nick Lalich, Chris Haidt, Julie Irwin, Jason Clare, Tony Berg 和 Chris Bowen 等。 我非常认同工党的核心价值， 我关心人民贴近社区， 对弱势群体更有同理心， 也重视多元文化。 我觉得工党是最支持多元文化的政党， 即使我当律师经营事务所， 这也花了很多时间去帮助社区， 这也是我想代表这个地区的原因之一。
I see. So not only with the Labour Party, we know that you got a very long time staying in Cabramatta, this electorate. Can you tell us more about this electorate and how you connect yourself with the local community?
那 Cabramatta 这个选区有什么特别的地方呢?
Yeah, the electorate is very special, very unique, very vibrant, because a lot of people know Cabramatta. Has the highest Asian-born Australian residents out of all of New South Wales, and the largest ancestries come from Vietnamese and then Chinese and Khmer. And we have also quite a lot of other people from other communities like the Assyrian, Armenian, Chaldean heritage, but also the Italian, Serbian, and Croatian backgrounds as well. But it has, I recently looked up, and it has the highest proportion of residents with both parents born overseas, and also the highest proportion born in Southeast Asia. And the other interesting thing about Karamata is Karamata electorate has the highest population of Buddhists in the whole of New South Wales. So it's quite special. And last year, the year before, I had a friend, he comes from in city or ride, he came to Karamata, and he told me, like every time I missed going overseas, I would come to Karamata. Because Karamata is like, it feels like we're in Asia. So, you know, when I heard that, I thought, oh, he's out of the area, and he thinks like that, and that's makes it quite special. Like, Karamata is quite special.
Karamata 真的很特别，很有活力。这里是整个新南威尔士州亚裔居民比例最高的地方。主要的族裔有越南裔、华裔、柬埔寨裔，也有以色列、亚美尼亚、意大利、塞尔维亚等不同背景的人。这里的居民中有非常高的比例的家庭是双亲都在海外出生，大多来自东南亚。另外，卡巴马塔也是新州佛教徒比例最高的地区。我有个住在市区的朋友曾说，每次想念亚洲就开车来卡巴马塔，这里就像回到亚洲一样。那这一句话呢，也是真的形容得非常好。
Mm-hmm. We also call it as a little Vietnamese town as well in our community among us.
Yeah,
so actually, can you also tell us more about what kind of key concerns or issues your constituents often raise up to you?
那当地居民最常向您反映的问题有哪些?
Yeah, because a lot of people there, they would live in public housing or require public housing.So public housing is a big issue in the area, and a big issue all in New South Wales, but especially public, social, and affordable housing in the area. So that's a big issue that they bring to our office in Karamata. And if you ever drive there, you can see car parking is an issue. Car parking is always an issue. That's why issues like revenue, New South Wales fines and all that, so they do come to us to help them, explain why they has a good reason not to be fined by revenues in New South Wales, and then also JP, because we have our workers speaking other language, and then so that JP services are quite in high demand overall, especially in Karamata, because people these days they always need the documents to be certified.These documents be certified or witnessed by JP, so they come to us a lot. And the other local issue, sometimes they talk about footpaths or local roads or overgrown trees. A lot of them are council issues, but we refer or write to council on their behalf. And public schools are a big thing in our area as well, primary school and high school, and also health, hostel health.They also come to our office to raise their concerns about those issues as well.
住房问题是最多的，那尤其是公屋和可负担的住房，很多人等了很久都没有排到。再来就是停车问题，在卡巴马塔的停车位真的不够，还有罚款与收入属的问题，有人被罚单，希望我们帮忙解释或申诉。公证服务的需求也很高，那很多居民的英文都不好，需要帮忙盖章或文件的见证。那此外呢，还有地方的道路、人行道、过度生长的树木、学校设施、医疗服务等，大家都会来我们的办公室为我们反映。
Mm-hmm. So among of those issues, can you share with us what kind of community initiatives or projects you're currently working for?
能分享一些你最近在社区推动的项目吗
？Like in the past couple of years, I'm very privileged to represent Karamata, and then of course, I learned along the way as well. As I mentioned earlier, we are the area that has the most Buddhists in the whole of New South Wales. So last year, knowing that, we organized on the 5th of December last year, 2024, we organized what's called a Kapramatta Buddhist Forum in Whakapau Temple, that's in Bonnerig, and with the Premier, Chris Minns was there, and with at least 10 major Vietnamese temples in Kapramatta electorate. That was quite special because probably one of the first time that Premier went to a local temples and with at least 10 major temples in the area. And then also this year, on the 1st of August 2025, we had a Christian, a Kapramatta Christian community where in Mount Carmel, Bonnerig, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns was also there, and with at least 10 major Catholic, Christian and Orthodox churches in my area, and for many communities, representative of many communities in my area. And then recently we had the privilege of having a Kapramatta Buddhist Community Premier's reception in New South Wales Parliament. It was on the 18th of September 2025. We had at least 14 major temples in my area, from the Vietnamese, Chinese, Khmer, and the Laos community. And it was very special. Premier was there, and we had the chanting, Buddhist chanting from all the communities. We had it from Chinese community, Vietnamese, Khmer, and Laos community. And the temples were very happy. They said that's the first time. First time ever for them to come to Parliament and to able to chant in and pray in their own language. That's quite special. And then, many of my residents, as you know, come from South East Asian nations, and so they came here after the end of the Vietnam War in 1975, and since 1975, that's 50 years. 50 years since the end of the war, 1975. And then so this year, 2025, I've got the privilege and pleasure of celebrating with these communities 50 years of successful settlement in Australia, many activities, many commemoration, many celebrations in the Vietnamese community, the Laotian community, in the Khmer community. And then, of course, you might know I was very privileged and lucky to go to public schools for my primary school and high school. I came here as a Vietnamese refugee at the age of 6, and very privileged to be able to study. I started in year halfway year one, like, halfway year one. I repeated year because I that's only school I started, like, and I had to repeat for various reasons. I mentioned in the August speech, but and then so I went to public school, so I'm always a supporter of public schools. And then so that's recently we've been doing a lot of improvements to the public schools in my area, places like Kapramatta Public and Canterlyvale Primary and Harrington Park and St John's Park High School and Bonnerick High and Bosley Park High and Canterlyvale and a few others. And currently we are building 6 public preschools. Public preschools, which means preschools means like usually 3, 4, 5 years old. So we can take those, and it will be completed in 1 or 2 years, so they can take their children from 3 or 4 years old right to year 6, 12 years old. And the good thing is saying that children who go to school early transition better, learn better, because from 0 to 5, that's when they mostly develop. And so that's why preschool is very good in terms of their personal development and in terms of transitioning to preschool, to kindergarten and to primary school. And it's also easy for the parents and siblings to drop off and pick up their children at one place. And one other big thing is that we're upgrading Fairfield Hospital. A place that is quite special to me. All my 3 children were born in Fairfield Hospital, and there is a master plan, and I've used it this Fairfield Hospital so many occasions, and there is a need need to upgrade it, because they haven't upgraded since opening in, I think, late 80s. Our population has increased many times. Population has increased, but there's no upgrade improvement in the last 3 decades or so. So there's a master plan to upgrade this Fairfield Hospital, $550 million upgrade. And that's something I think I do the knocking, talking to residents, something very important for them. Mm-hmm. Health is very important for everyone.
Yes.
Probably one of the most valuable thing in a person's life. And those are some of the projects. There's other ones, but I think those are some of the examples of the projects I've been doing, and I will continue to do, because all these things, I'm very happy. I have the privilege and pleasure to do these projects for our area.
过去两年，我参与了很多活动。去年，也就是2024年的12月5日，我们在 Bonnerick 的 Fab Budo 寺举办了佛教论坛，那邀请了州长 Chris Mintz 和十多间的寺庙一起参加，这也是我们的州长第一次参加这样的大型佛教活动。那么在2025年呢，8月1日，我们又参加了 Mount Carmel 举办基督徒社区聚会，也有十多间的教堂参加。那么之后呢，在2025年的9月18日，我们在州议会举办了 Kabamata 佛教社区州长招待会，邀请到了越南、华人、柬埔寨、老挝等14间寺庙。大家还以中、越、柬、老这四种语言去朗诵诵经祈福。那气氛呢也是非常的特别，很多寺庙说那是他们第一次能在议会里用自己的语言祈祷，真的很感动。此外呢，今年是越战的结束后50周年，我们和越南、老挝、柬埔寨社群一起举办了许多纪念与庆祝活动，感谢他们在澳洲成功安家立业50年。教育方面，我们本人呢也是公立学校的支持者。我在6岁来澳洲，是公校一路读上来的孩子，所以我非常了解公立教育的重要性。我们目前正在升级很多当地的学校，比如 Kabamata Public、Kelly Wells Primary、St. John Park High 和 Bonnerick High 等，也正在建6所新的公立幼儿园，让3到5岁的孩子们可以提早的进入教育体系，更容易的衔接小学。在医疗方面呢，我们正在推动 Fairfields 医院的升级计划。那这间医院呢，对我来说是非常有感情的。我有3个孩子都在那里出生，它自1980年代启用以来，从没有大规模的翻新过。如今的人口增长呢，也是好几倍。所以呢，这次我们投入了5.5亿澳元进行升级。那健康呢，是人生最宝贵的东西。我很高兴能帮社区推动这一件事。
Yes, from what you say previously, we can tell that you're really familiar with the local issues as well. So we know that with the rising population with among the Western Sydney areas, is there a rising living cost and housing affordability are the major challenges for the family in there? And how would you help them to manage these kind of pressures?
目前生活成本和房价的上涨，您认为政府应该如何帮助民众？
Yeah, as we understand, the rising living costs is everywhere in New South Wales. Grocery costs, electricity, petrol, the interest rates has gone up a lot. Only this year it's gone down 3 times. There's 3 official cash rate decreases in February, May and August. So that's been helping the residents a little bit. But other than that, electricity is very high. But there's the national $150 electricity bill relief for 2025-2026, and then also the New South Wales low income household rebate, which helps eligible concession card holders to pay their electricity bills, and there's also a toll cap, which I think benefits a lot of people living in Western Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to drive further, and they use the only means of transport really is by car, and then so $60 per week. That means if they drive and the tolls up to $400, they can get a rebate of $340 per week. That's the maximum. So that helps a little bit. And then these are for personal trips, vehicle registered for private use. And of course, we know that housing is a very expensive element of household budgets. And when housing affordability worsening, this adds to the cost of living problems, whether it's through our mortgage payments or through rental amount. And the rental amount is, of course, usually related to the price of the house. And we understand that the median house price for New South Wales is over $1.5 million. over $1.5 million, that's a lot. And if you look at other states, like say Melbourne, the median price is about $1 million. And then Brisbane and LA is about $900,000. So in Sydney, the house prices are half a million or more than half a million dollars, more than the next city, Melbourne. So there's a housing crisis in Sydney. That's a lot of money. And that's why, but there's no quick and simple solution. But I think one thing we all agree on is that we need to have more supplies, more houses to solve the problem, especially in Australia, but especially in New South Wales. And in the National Housing Accord, they've put a target of 1.2 million extra homes in the next 5 years to 2029 in all Australia. And in New South Wales, the government has committed to building 378,000 extra houses by mid-2029. And the New South Wales government, how they're helping this is that we're making it easier and faster, easier to build more houses. And some of the ways they're doing this is just like having transport-oriented development, which is TOD, shortest TOD policies in New South Wales, which encourage higher density housing and mixed-use development, mixed-use within 400 metres from a public transport, like, say, metro or train station. And the second way they're doing is build more low to mid-rise housing near town centres within 800 metres of town centre. Because the reason why they're targeting metro, train station, town centres is because the infrastructure is there, whether it's buses, train station, metro, shops, amenities, it's there already. So it's only fair and right for us to build more homes there, infrastructure is there already, schools are there, hospitals are there. And if you look around the world, like, our houses or our cities are not dense compared to other. If you ever been to other cities around the world, New York and Hong Kong, New York and Hong Kong and London and all that, it's very dense. Our median house prices in Australia is second at highest, just only after Hong Kong, but our land's really wide, And that's why there's something wrong there. But anyway, the New South Wales government's trying to solve that. And the other way they're trying to do it is a new fast-track process in New South Wales for specific patent book designs. Patent book means like the designs approved already. You choose these patent book design houses and the approval can be approved in 10 days with a 10-day neighbor notification period preceding that, before that, and they're also building more social and affordable modular houses, like similar houses. And then presently, government's trying to change Environmental Planning and Assessment Act to fast track approvals. Instead of like approvals, get DA approval 3-6 months or sometimes 9 months, and you build and it takes a long time here with minor non-compliance issues. Development applications can be fast-tracked, and they're trying to approve that in 10 days, approval time in 10 days. If council fails to respond within 10 days, it's assumed that it's approved. Those are some of the ways that we are helping with cost of living. And, of course, the housing crisis is the biggest one, because we all need a roof over our head. I think in the next, we are solving it, we are solving it.
确实，物价、电费、油价、 房贷利率都涨了很多，今年虽然利率已经连续的三次下调，在二月份、五月份和八月份，多少是有点帮助，但电价方面呢，联邦政府呢提供了150澳元的电费补助，新州呢也有低收入户的电费回扣，另外还有每周60澳元过路费上限，对西悉尼居民帮助很大。 开车族如果一周付了400澳元的过路费，就能拿回340澳元。至于房价，新州的中位价超过了150万澳元，比墨尔本高50万。要解决房价问题，没有捷径，但我们一致认为必须要增加供应。那澳洲的政府呢，目标是在2029年全国新增120万套的住房，新州约占37.8万套。 那新州政府呢，也在推动公共运输导向开发（TOD）， 鼓励在地铁与火车站的400米内新建高密度住宅，并在市中心的800米内发展高低密度住宅。那基础设施呢，已经是到位的，在那里建屋更合适。此外呢，我们也引入了设计样式手册（ （Pattern Book）， 快速的审批制度，预先核准的 建筑设计可在10天内通过。那如果市议会在10天内没有回复的话，就会自动的批准。这些措施都是为了降低生活压力与住房危机，让每个人都有房子可住。
Yes, indeed. What Trifil have mentioned just then is the most hot topic right now, which is from our New South Wales Labour government. They are planning to have those rezoning and those mid-low-rise buildings, as well as the, accelerating the DA approval speed to help with the housing crisis among the New South Wales area as well. So let's talk about the another next hot topic, which is with the Western Sydney Airport. We know that the Western Sydney Airport is already testing with the planes already. So what opportunities or challenges do you foresee for the Cabramatta Electric with the opening of the Western Sydney Airport?
西悉尼机场也快要启用了，那您认为对Cabramatta会有什么样的影响呢？
Yeah, I think it's exciting times. Exciting times. This is the second airport in New South Wales in Sydney. And the opportunities I see, of course, is more jobs, especially around Western Sydney area and around the aerotropolis. There's going to be a city aerotropolis around cities around the airport being built. And then so there's going to be more jobs, better for the economy. And unlike the airport in Kingsford Smith in the city, this will be a 24-hour airport. Just like any other international airport, if you go, you can catch a flight 12 o'clock in the night time or 2 or 3 in night time. Instead of like there's a curfew and then 10 o'clock is a maximum at night time and then you have to come back at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be 24 hours and it will, to me, I think it will help assist the second and third cities of Sydney. Like Sydney is, of course, the biggest city in New South Wales. The second city is Parramatta. And then the third city will be Liverpool. Airport will be in the third city, which is Liverpool. and so that, you know, with having the airport, it will assist, help these cities of Parramatta and Liverpool. And the great thing about my area, Parramatta, is it's pretty much in between these two cities. And having the airport there will help the area in many ways. And as you understand, the Western Sydney has 10% of the population of Australia. Cabramatta is part of Western Sydney, and Western Sydney has 10% of the population in Australia, and also 10% of the economy of all of Australia. And that's why I think this Western Sydney Airport will also help this area and its people in terms of travelling, in terms of tourism, in terms of the economy and overall. And of course, with any opportunities, with anything that's positive, there's also some challenges. And some of the challenges are, of course, noise. Like noise from airport, it's a quiet area, and not many people really like noise. However, I've looked at some of the flights or the intended flights, and they are trying to have the flights flown outside the dense area, So the flights will probably going southern, like, you know, where there's more less homes, like, you know, south and also in northwest, northern, so to minimize the noise. And also there will be demand for public transport. In the short term, of course, people are going to use things like cars, buses, and taxis. But I think in long term, as there will be a demand, hopefully we'll have trains and metro in the future. You know. And like anything, like when there's more people through to tourism, travellers, and aerotropolis and all that, there'll be traffic. But that's a normal problem with any big city. You know.
这是令人期待的大工程，它将成为悉尼的第二座主要的机场，带来更多的就业机会，尤其是对西悉尼和周边机场新城有很大的帮助。新机场呢会促进经济的发展，而且不像市区的 Kingsford Smith 机场，它是24小时运作的国际机场，那大家呢半夜也能搭飞机。它也会让悉尼的三城愿景更完整，那第一城呢就是悉尼本城，第二城呢就是 Parramatta， 那第三城呢就是 Liverpool， 而机场就是在第三城。卡巴马塔呢刚好位于 Parramatta 与 Liverpool 之间，那我们的社区一定能受惠。西悉尼拥有全澳的 10% 的人口和 10% 的经济量。这座机场的影响呢不只是区域性的，甚至是全国性的，当然也会有挑战，例如噪音问题。不过航线的设计会尽量避开住宅的密集区，往南方与西北方向飞行，以减少噪音的影响。那短期内呢，大家也是主要的靠汽车、巴士往返，但长期希望能有地铁或火车接驳，交通呢会更繁忙，但这也是城市进步的象征。
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is everything with ups and downside with the new development part. So let's see how it goes when the Western Sydney Airport will open soon. So I think that's conclude our interview today. Is there anything else you would like to tell our audience?
那么最后，您有什么话想要对听众说的吗？
Yeah, like like to thank you, Sally, and also especially Esmond for inviting me here today. To CR, so I have the opportunity to introduce myself and explain my work and my thoughts and our New South Wales Men's Labour Government's work to your wonderful listeners of 2CR. And I want to take this opportunity to thank your support and your listeners' support of my electorate of Karamara and our surrounding areas. And it's pretty much towards the end of year. Just want to wish everyone a very happy end of year, a wonderful new year 2026. And I know that we're facing a housing crisis and cost of living, but hopefully we have stable federal government, and hopefully we have long-term and stable New South Wales government, which will help solve these housing crises, cost of living, and also assist in maintaining peace and stability in the world. And then I also take this opportunity to congratulate 2CR for more than 30 years of since the establishment of 2CR and your wonderful work for the communities and the listeners and in my area, because last year I had the privilege of attending the 30th year anniversary of 2CR, and I know that around this month it's actually your 31st year, and take this opportunity to congratulate 2CR. And thank you for having me today.
非常感谢 Sally 和 Esmond 邀请我上节目，很开心能有机会介绍自己，也跟大家分享我的工作与新州工党政府的施政方向。我也要感谢所有支持我的 Parramatta 与周边的居民。年末将至，那祝大家是有年终的愉快，在2026年一切顺利。虽然我们正面临着住房和生活的压力，但我相信只要政府稳定，这些问题都能逐步的解决。也希望世界能维和和平与稳定。 那最后呢，我们也是再次恭喜TUSA澳洲中文广播电台超过30周年。那去年呢，我也有幸的参加你们的庆典。那现在呢，已经是迈入了第31年，感谢你们一直为社区所做出的一切付出。
Yes, thank you very much for again, and thank you for sharing your thoughts and your time today. And we hope to seeing you in the next Chinese community events in Kabramata as well. And hope our audience will have any problem, they can find you in the local service area among Kabramata as well. So thank you very much. This is the end of our interview. Thank you.
Thank you kindly.